leading us with the spirit that I know resides within him. And we're just grateful for not only him, but all of our men who have led us in our worship today, the prayers, and just passing out the communion that we've been able to partake of. It means a lot. And so, brethren, please know that we appreciate you volunteering yourselves and being a part of making our worship what it should be, and that is pleasing and acceptable to God. I'd like to encourage more of our men to get involved in the worship of God in terms of service to God. It's always good to see the saints and to see you as we all come together to praise God and to worship and acknowledge that it is he who is the source of our being. Those of you who are visiting with us know that you're our honored guests. It's always a pleasure to have guests to come and to be with us in our worship service. God has blessed this church in many ways, and if you're visiting and you're looking for a good church home, please consider the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, where all of us are desirous of pleasing God and making heaven our home. We live in a world where every week it seems that there is some type of bad news. But I'm glad that we're able to come to the house of God that we may learn good news and to be encouraged by what God has done for us and not what the devil has done to us. Now, I want you to take about 2 minutes. I need something from you, and you might need it too. And that is just to put my hand in your hand, a hug or something. I need some strength this morning. And so let's take 2 minutes and let's give one another what we need. Amen.
We praise our God. We're one big family. We lift our hands to reach the skies, and I am so glad.
John, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 1, we'll look 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What a great thing we have had this year, the anatomy of Christ. When we think in terms of the anatomy of discipleship, I understand unity to be one of the very foundational characteristics of discipleship, and that which mirrors Christ and his great work within the world. Jesus uses this parable to illustrate the relationship between he and his apostles, but we know based on John 17 in his prayer that it is not only for his apostles, but it's for all those who hear the apostles. This is a very wonderful relationship, and it's amazing that he chooses the analogy of a vine to illustrate this relationship. My subject is simply the unity of the vine and the branches. When you consider this lesson, it will move in four phases. One, the caring husbandman or vine dresser. The true vine, the branches, and lastly, the fruit. Jesus says, my Father is the husbandman, which means that he is the one who has purposed this vine. He is the one who has planted this vine. His planting the vine is for the purpose of bringing forth spiritual fruit in a world that needs healing, that needs bread and food and nourishment that comes from heaven and not from men. When you think in terms of God being his Father, being the husbandman, you have to think in terms of, first of all, love that initiates it. Secondly, it has purpose, and there is definitely intentionality. And I know that's, I made that one up, but that's what I'm going to use because it makes my point. That's all words came from somewhere, and I just made that one, and you can put that in the dictionary. God has used this analogy of planting a vineyard. And I want you to listen to some passages. Psalm 80 and verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. This is God. And we know that to be Israel. Thou hast cast out the heathens and planted it. So the psalmist says that God is the one who had the purpose of bringing Israel out of Egypt and planting them in the land of Canaan, driving out the nations and planting them there that they might be able to bring forth that spiritual fruit, that spiritual nourishment that the world at that time needed. And God used Israel as that planted vine. Isaiah picked up on it, and he says in Isaiah 5, 1 and 2, Now I will sing. Listen to the love and listen to the purpose with which this is done. He says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching. Watch this. His vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in, watch this, a very fruitful hill. The idea is that when God seeks to plant his vine, he chooses a fruitful hill. If you're a gardener, you know that you want to choose a spot where you believe that it will yield the greatest fruit. And that's the way God is. God has the intention of going and finding a place that he can plant this vine, this vineyard. And he does it on a very fruitful hill. And in this case, it was the land of Canaan. And if you remember, when the 12 spies went over into Canaan, they came back with a large cluster of grapes, which was an indication that this is a good land and a land that is fertile and one that truly has been blessed by God. Verse 2 says, he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built, watch, what kind of vine? Choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it. So God is there with his law, with his intention, with his purpose, and he looked that it might bring forth grapes. Now, I've done all I can do. And he said it brought forth wild grapes. So God's intention by using Israel to plant them and make them a vine, make them a vineyard, to bring forth fruit, spiritual fruit. He was disappointed because they became a vine that brought forth wild grapes and not good fruit. Now, this same God, Jesus picks up on it. He says, now I am the true vine. Now I'm moving to point 2. I am the true vine. I am the genuine. I am the real vine. Now I know what God did back there with Israel. But that was a shadow. That was God foreshadowing what I would do when I come into the world. I know that Israel was a disappointment to God, but I'm not going to be a disappointment. I am the legitimate. I am the real. I am the essence of what God wants. When you think in terms of Jesus saying, I am the true vine, there are many ways in which I can illustrate that, but time is not on my side this morning. But I will say this to you, that when you go back into nature, and he pulls this out of nature, what you find is that there are two types of vines. Now, the first vine is one that someone intentionally plants, and they cultivate, and they discipline that vine. This is your wine growers who bring you your wine. Well, bring them their wine and bring them what? I know it's yours too, I just wanted to see if you were. Now listen, that's one that has been cultivated and designed. But then there's another that grows on its own. It goes its own way. It's a seed that has been dispersed randomly. This is what they call the forest vine. This is a vine that a bird perhaps, you know, through what he does, allows seed to be planted. But this one has no discipline. This one has no husbandman. This one has no vine dresser. This one just does what it wants to do on its own. Jesus perhaps is saying that I am not that forest vine. I'm not that wild vine. I am a vine that has been well kept, one that has been cultivated in order to do what needs to be done. And my fruit is not bitter fruit. That wild vine brings forth bitter fruit. We had one of those in our backyard. And when I saw that those grapes on that vine, I said, oh, man, look at here. God has given us a grapevine, Jeanette. Look back there, girl. We got all those grapes. And then when I tasted one of them, it was one of the most bitter grapes that I'd ever tasted. And so the birds and whoever else wanted them got those grapes because I didn't want them. But that was a wild vine. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. You know, Israel disappointed God. God said, I made you a noble vine. Jeremiah talks about it, Jeremiah 2:21. He said, I made you a noble vine. I gave holy a right seed, but you have become a degenerate plant. Jesus is not that degenerate plant. Jesus is truly what God intends for the world. So he is the true vine that gives its fruit. Now, point three, he talks about, I am the true vine, I am the vine, but then he says, ye are the branches. Now, this is interesting when you think in terms of him saying to the apostles that they are branches and saying to us who are his disciples that we are branches of the vine. Now, the obvious thing that you and I see is that we are attached to the vine. We are connected to the vine. We have a unity with the vine. If we're branches, that means that we cannot exist without being a part of the vine. But there is something else that you and I need to understand about these branches and about the branches of a vine. Now, when you look closer at what Jesus is saying, I think Ezekiel 15, and I want you to put this on the screen, and I want you to see what kind of branch came to the mind of the apostles. In Ezekiel 15 and verse number 2, Ezekiel 15 and verse number 2, watch what he says. Son of man, now this is Ezekiel talking to Israel who has gone astray, that wild who was planted, but yet they had gone on their own and become a wild vine. Watch this. Son of man, how is, watch this, the wood of the vine better than any other wood? Now he's speaking metaphorically, but he is really talking to Israel, and he's saying to Israel, Israel, I want you to look and see yourself as wood of the vine. And I want you to look at the other nations, and I want you to ask yourself this. He said, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? Israel, how are you better than all the other nations? In other words, he wants them to understand that the only reason that they have any significance is because of their connection with him and not because of themselves. But the wood of a vine teaches this. The vine branch, which is among the trees of the forest. Watch verse number 3. Is wood taken from it? He's talking about the branch or the wood of a vine. Is wood taken from it to make any object? In other words, out of all of the trees, the vine is the only tree that has wood that carpenters don't use, that no one finds useful. He is simply saying that that wood is so insignificant to every other wood of every other tree until the only thing that it is good for is to produce fruit. And once it does not produce fruit, then it is absolutely good for nothing. And so he is making his point. He said, men don't even make a peg to hang a coat on or a vessel on. Watch verse number 4. Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. That's the only thing that a branch from a vine is good for, is for the fuel of fire. The fire devours both ends of it. He said, now once you put it in the fire, it is so fragile that the wood is burned on both ends and in the middle all at the same time. You know how you can throw a piece of wood in fire and you can let it burn a little while and you can take it out and it's still good for something. But he said, once you put this in the fire, it's gone. It is useful. It is, he asked the question, is it useful for any work? So when the apostles, I want you to see, when the apostles heard Jesus say that ye are the branches, he was telling them that you are really insignificant. You really have nothing to boast about, because as a branch in a vine, you must depend solely upon the vine. Now, nourishment comes from the vine into the branches. And I want you to understand that the two things that come from this spiritual vine who is Jesus, two things that feed the branches. Number one is the Word of God. Number two is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus made this, and I want to look at John 14 and verse number 15, and I know that I may take a little longer than I should, but watch this, John 14 and verse number 15, and I want you to see how this relationship and how the Word of God is so important. Now, he says, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. Watch verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, who is the husbandman, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now that's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because the world is not connected to the vine. The world is not connected to Jesus. Only way that you can ever get the Spirit of God is you got to be connected to God, connected to Christ, receiving the nourishment, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he what? He dwells with you and will be where? In you. Watch verse number 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse number 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Now, you got to remember that this is just prior to him giving the illustration concerning the vine and the branches. Because I live, watch him, because I live, you will live also. If you're connected to me, if you stay with me, as I live, you will live. A little while longer, all right? At that day, you will know that I am. At that day, you will know I am in my Father and you in me. Watch the relationship. And I in you. That's why Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. That's because he knows that the branch and the vine have to have that relationship, and that's how God feeds his people. When they are connected to Jesus, they receive that which God has given to them. That's the Holy Spirit and the Word of Almighty God. Watch the next verse. Watch this now. He who has my commandments and keeps them, that's abiding in him. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. That's the relationship. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Watch verse number 22. Judas, you know, not Iscariot, thank God, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because the world doesn't have any connection. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. So that relationship is illustrated by the vine and the branches. Two things in that text. You receive the Holy Spirit, and you receive the Word of God. So the vine, who is planted by the Father, the vine and the Father have a relationship. Now, the Father is somebody. Mm-hmm. The vine is somebody. But you as that little old branch, you really are a nobody. And if you really want to live and survive, you got to be connected to the vine. And when you're connected to the vine, you have the nourishment of the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God in you. And that's the nourishment. That's the nourishment that causes you to live. Amen, walls. And amen, lights. Now, the branch must understand that it receives its sustenance from Jesus Christ. I know I'm right. Because Jesus said in John 15, going back to our text, and verse number 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. So many people want to have this relationship with Jesus, but they don't want his word. They want the Holy Spirit, but they don't want his word. You can't have the word without the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will not dwell without the word, because the word and the Holy Spirit, they come together. And that's how you and I grow, and we are nurtured in this wonderful union and our wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I close, I move to the fruit. And I hope by now you understand that the only reason that the vine is there and the only reason that the branches are connected to the vine is because of the fruit. It's all about the fruit. It's not about the branch. It's not about the vine. It's about God wanting fruit. And the only way that the vine and the branches come into play is that they are his instruments by which fruit comes into the world. Now, when you think in terms of this, I want you to go back to the text. I want to go back to John 15, and I want you to watch everywhere fruit is used. Now, I'm going to use another version to illustrate this. John 15 and verse number 2. He removes every one of my branches. He removes every one of my branches that does not produce what? Say it. All right, fruit. He also prunes every branch that does not produce what? To make it do what? Produce what? So every branch that will not produce fruit, he does what? Takes away. All right? But every branch that what? Produces fruit, he does what? He prunes it that it might bring forth what? More fruit. It's all about the fruit. Now watch this. Let me drop down to verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Those who live in me and I in them will produce what? How much? Now, watch this. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, he said, you will produce much fruit. But you cannot produce anything without what? Me. You got to understand that the only way the fruit is going to come in our lives is that we got to stay connected to Jesus Christ. He said, because without me, you can do absolutely nothing. All right? So what happens to the branch? Whoever does not live in me is thrown away like a branch and dies or dries up. Branches like this are gathered, thrown into the fire, and they're burned. And the reason they got to do it is because you can't do anything else with the wood of a branch. I mean, of a vine, because it's good for nothing else. So the only thing that can be done, once you are severed from the vine, you got to be gathered, thrown into the fire, and then be burned. If you live in me, now watch him. I like this translation because it says, and this is from God's Word translation. He says, if you live in me, I know the word abide, but you got to live in me. And what I say lives in you. Then ask anything you want, and it will be yours. He said, watch this now. He said, you give glory to my Father, who's the husbandman, when you produce a lot of fruit, and therefore show that you are my disciples. As we come to the end of this year, I want us to ask ourselves, how much fruit have I borne for God? Now, there are three kinds of fruit. The first is spiritual character, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And he said, against such is no law. If you are connected to the vine, you ought to be producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's just a part of my character, because I am connected to Jesus. And this is what his Spirit gives me. This is the fruit of the Spirit. The second fruit is works of righteousness. Romans 6:22, that whole chapter deals with this relationship between Jesus and those who have been brought into his fellowship. Now, this is what he makes this known. He said, but now, I'm in verse number 22 of Romans 6, but now being made free from sin, you have become servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness. Fruit here unto righteousness. And the end is everlasting life. So if you are connected to Jesus, then that means that your character displays certain spiritual characteristics. And whatever you do is about righteousness. It's about holiness. It's about the end of life, which is everlasting life. Then the third one is spiritual regeneration of sinful mankind. This fruit is evangelism. God put us on this earth to have spiritual character. He put us on this earth to do spiritual righteous works. He put us on this earth. We're connected to Christ, disciples of Christ, in order for us to go out and gain other people into the vine or into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. If you and I are truly seeking to make life better for ourselves, we're going to have to understand that it comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And what he'll do is he will produce in your life certain spiritual characteristics. He will allow you to be involved in righteous works. He will help you to be an influence and a person who vigilantly seeks to bring others into this relationship with Christ because of what God has done for me. I'm not interested in bringing somebody into something that I'm not benefiting from. But if God is doing something for me, if God is changing my life, if God is bringing me love, God is bringing me joy, God is bringing me peace, in the midst of a world that has truly gone wrong, a world that is filled with so much violence and so much abuse, if God has me in the midst of this world, able from my own character and from my own relationship in Jesus to wake up the next morning and know that the sun is still shining, know that the future is still bright, knowing that no terrorists can ever take away what God has put inside of me, I ain't afraid of going nowhere because I know that God's got my back. I know that wherever I am, that God is there. And so I don't have to stoop down and be a person who renders evil for evil. I don't have to be a person to get involved in violence because I know that the strength of God is in love and peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, mercy, faith. I know that as long as I overcome evil with good, good is what turns the world around. And I didn't get it from myself. I didn't get it from humanism. I got it from God. God taught me when evil is present, goodness has to get it out. Goodness has to make a difference in the world. I know I'm going long, but I got to tell you, God will prune everybody that's bringing forth fruit. And I ain't got no problem with God pruning me. Sometime, well, my time is gone. I just got to quit because it's already 10 after. You know, as I close, if you're bringing forth fruit, and I know what fruit that I'm bringing forth. No, ain't no doubt about it. I know what I'm supposed to be. And I know that God is a God who gives me that nourishment, that gives me that. And that's why whenever I'm going through anything, I can deal with it because God is there. No doubt about it. But let me tell you something. God will prune you. He prunes his people. You can't have good fruit unless the Lord prunes you. That means that the Lord is going to do something in your life to make you closer to him. That'll make you draw nourishment from him more than you did before. Sometimes that's a loss of a job. But when you know God has got you, you just turn around and say, I know I can't go to humanism. I know I can't go to denominationalism. I know I can't go to political agendas. The only person I can go to get strength in a time like this is Jesus, my Lord. And so my roots and my nourishment comes from him and nobody else. Sometimes he'll prune you with a bad relationship. Sometimes he'll say, I'm going to put somebody in your life that's going to cause you a whole lot of mischief and a whole lot of trouble. I'm going to put somebody in your life that'll keep you up at night, that'll make you want to hate them. But I got news for you. If you know that you're connected to the vine, if you know that God gives you your nerve, can't nobody take from me what God has got for me. I know I'm not. No, I'm telling the truth. Listen. You got to know who your vine is, and you got to be connected to your vine. Some of us, Lord, I done got to go. Brother Brown, you just had a baby boy. You get that boy, and you raise that boy, and you put that boy in the vine. I know you want the best for him. I want the best for mine, but I guarantee you that if they want to survive in this life, they got to be connected to the right vine, and that right vine is Jesus. God planted him. The church is all about Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, I done got worked up. Listen, pruning. Yes. Pruning.
Yes, sir.
See, sometimes the Lord will put things in your way to keep you from bearing fruit. Yes. All of this politics in the church today, all of this negativism in the body of Christ, all on the internet, fighting one another, stabbing one another. That is something that needs to be pruned, that needs to be cut, because you can't glorify God in division. You can't glorify God. Somebody say, well, Brother Gabe, why don't you preach on some of this stuff? I ain't got time to preach on stuff like that, because I ain't trying to grow this church on negativism. Yeah. I'm growing it on that which God knows will grow this church. Yeah. So if you're looking for me to talk about brotherhood politics, I ain't going to do it. You come here on Sunday morning, I'm going to give you something to grow by. Ain't none of that old junk out there talking about. That's all the devil wants to get us off track. You better prune that stuff. May I say something else? I know I done gone long. If I'm in a relationship and I see stuff ain't making my relationship grow, then you got to start pruning. Oh, I wish I could get plain. But I know better, Brother Bill. Am I looking all right? Now listen. If I know that I need to work closer with her, and I know that a job that I'm on is taking me more away from her, and my boss wants me to keep working, giving me more hours, and he make you say, well, that's him, give you more money. But what I know is that there's something more important than making money. And that's my relationship with my wife.
Yes, sir.
And so I'll prune it.
Yes.
Tell him, I said, no, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I just prune that. And then I run home. When I get home, that time I was going to be on the job, I'm giving it to her. Amen. And I got news for you. Man, it's going to grow. Got to know how to prune. I'm in overtime, but that's all right. You got to know how to prune. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, you know, I would come to service more often, but you know, I got to do this. You better start doing some pruning. See, if you don't prune, If you don't prune it, you keep letting that stuff hang on that vine, on that branch. Wine growers know. Watch them. A wine grower, he pays close attention to his vines. And every day, he goes out there. He don't want everything growing on that. He's not interested in seeing how many grapes gonna grow on that, because he knows too many will not be productive. So what he does is he begins to cut off some of those new shoots, because every shoot is gonna be drinking nourishment. And so he said, no, I already got fruit right here, so I gotta cut this one. And what he's doing is he's making sure that this one is getting juicier, redder, blacker, greener. See, you got to know. And God knows. And God is in your life. And he knows you're attached to him. But he's in the pruning business. And brother, let me tell you something. He's going to prune you. Boom. If you don't prune yourself, he's going to prune you. Oh, I wish I had time. Let me show you something. The devil told God that Job was serving him for naught. And the devil told him, said, prune him. And he'll curse you to your face. And the more the devil cut, the sweeter Job got. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can cut me all you want. You can prune me all you want. But I ain't going to do nothing but get closer. Closer. Ain't got nowhere else to go. Can't nothing else give me what I need but Jesus. Well, I wish I had time. There is no religion. Listen to me. Intellectuals, there is no religion on this earth better than Christianity. It's the only religion that grows a man. You can test them. Oh, I'm a preacher. I ain't worried about my life. I'm just going to tell the truth. Islam does not give us what Christianity gives us. The seeds are two different seeds, and they produce two different kinds of fruit. You young people getting caught up in all these ideologies, you better stay with what you know works, and that's Jesus. His doctrine, because it came from the one who planted the garden. And that's God himself. Amen. I don't work myself up. But it bothers me. And I watch the news. I watch everything. And I know. Every time I see it, I already know. I know where that came from. It didn't come from Jesus. And the only way it's going to be helped is by Jesus and his branches getting out there and bearing some fruit. Now, if your character's not what it ought to be, you ought to get it right. If you're not involved in good works, you ought to get it right. That's the power of God. That's the way God works. Get off the internet. Social media. Some of y'all drinking so much of that wine until it got you drunk. I ain't preached in a long time, so I guess I'm stirred up. I just want to say it all. But I mean, 24/7, you on social media. Putting all your stuff out there. Get in some Jesus. Okay. Y'all forgive me. I'm talking about the Bible class people. Please forgive me. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Bear it with him. That's how you get planted in the vine. And when you get planted in the vine, you stay in that vine and grow in that vine, and you watch how much fruit God will produce on your branch. And when pruning time comes, he's going to prune it. Sometimes it may be a loss of a loved one, but he's going to still be pruning. It'll just make you grow richer, deeper, and more spiritual every time a trial comes to you. I wish I could go to James 1, but I know. Please come. Right now, while together we stand and sing, will you come?
Jesus is tenderly calling me.